All right. Thank you, Seth. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Jim Freitas Talk Show. I put that music on there. I have Seth run it every week. I hope you like that. It's a 1 minute musical introduction, letting you know that we're getting ready to go live, and I have a very special guest this evening. In fact, Seth should have her on the line in just a minute, and I want to hear somebody over there say, "Hey, she's on the line." Anyhow, for 25 years, she has been a visionary, consultant, teacher, and spiritual messenger. Let me see here. Hold on one second. I was going to talk to you about something she has here, but I'm going to wait until we get her on the line. Are you there, Athena? Hello. Yeah, I was. I thought they were going to have you on the line before I got started, and he threw me tonight. Anyhow, I was just getting ready to introduce Athena Starr, ladies and gentlemen. She is our special guest this evening. And Athena, I ran into something here. I was starting to tell people about you, and I ran into another site here. I want to talk to you about this. But let me get out of this, and I want to come back to it in just a second. First, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to say that Athena Starr is a reverend, is renowned visionary, mystic, Reiki master. Is that Reiki? Is that pronounced properly?
Reiki.
Reiki, teacher and motivational speaker. She has assisted thousands worldwide, including dignitaries and world teachers, in life transformational sessions and conferences, both live and by phone, for personal and career success, relationships, and prosperity. She has been a frequent national TV and radio guest, as she is tonight on our show, and she has also been a radio host and a television host on cable. That was in Hawaii, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Still part of the United States. Anyhow, what? Yeah. Anyhow, Athena wrote a book, and we want to talk about that book tonight, called Celebrities in Spirit. And we have a lot of other things on the plate that we're going to talk about. Oh, God, we got a ton of stuff. And by the way, I got the information for you on the Year of the Dragon. We're going to talk about the Year of the Dragon, ladies and gentlemen. It starts today.
Yes, right, it's Chinese New Year today, everyone.
Yeah.
Plus, it's new moon, so we're like, this is like double energy of new creation and blessings coming, and you can feel the shift, too.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel it.
You betcha. Anyhow.
I work with Kuan Yin. She's the goddess of compassion, mercy, and in the Chinese deity, but really she's one of the very high-level cosmic master that helps transcend karma more quickly. And she's one with Buddha. So Kuan Yin is very much with us. I've worked with her for many, many years. She's just one of my protectors. And so she's blessing us tonight, as well as all the other masters and angels that we're calling in and linking in with right now. I always do that invocation of calling them all in for the highest good, to bless each and every one.
Yes, absolutely.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And a lot of people don't realize that we're starting another new year tonight. Right. Anyhow, I was starting to tell people about your book, and we're going to talk about that. I also want to mention that I went to Amazon.com, and you have one book left at Amazon.com. So can they order? Well, let's talk about your book, and then if they want to order it, you can tell them how they can order it, okay?
Well, they can get it directly from me, and that way I autograph it for them and send it to them special.
Right. That's probably going to be the best way. Anyhow, I wanted to talk about this, and you've got all these incredible stars or celebrities that have since left us. And they're no longer with us. And you have an excerpt of Judy Garland in here. And what you also have is a table of contents. And I was reading it. You have Princess Diana, Elvis Presley, Judy Garland, Johnny Carson, Jackie O, John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Princess Grace, and John Lennon. And I mentioned something to you when we were talking before, and I was wondering if it would be okay for me to kind of have you go back to John Kennedy before we get to Judy Garland. Would that be okay?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. And let me tell you what my situation was. I think I explained it to you. I've always had a problem with people who have been assassinated, that they were not able to, you know, being a Christian, they were not able to ask for repentance, forgiveness, and communion. So did Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, make it to heaven, or did he end up in purgatory? What is your take on it?
Well, first of all, the celebrities in the book are all master souls, and each chapter kind of overviews a certain light ray and focus with the ascended masters and the legions that they work in. So John F. Kennedy is definitely an ascended master. He was in the body. When he left abruptly, there was a host of angels and beings there to lift him into the Christ light. But since then, purgatory is a space where people are, where they're lost or disconnected or don't know what has happened to them. And of course, he was in that space for a while, but he was, with all the prayers and the reaching out and the devotion to him by all of them, you know, the world, he was lifted into the Christ light very quickly.
Because I remember,
Violet Flame, which is the freedom flame and the forgiveness flame, and so that we talk about that in the chapter, and his messages came through very clearly. I just love his presence. In fact, he's hearing us talking about him now, so he's kind of flashing in. Anyway, go ahead.
On the day he was assassinated, Athena, I was in the Air Force. I was getting out. I was sitting in the briefing room with about 100 other airmen. I had just come home from Germany. And we were sitting there. We had our little those little transistor radios, and we were listening to the parade the day he was assassinated. And then they came in and told us, okay, go home. Everybody get out of here. I got on a bus in Trenton, New Jersey, went to New York to go to the airport. New York City, you're not going to believe this, looked like a ghost town. There was one car on the street when I came up. I believe I was on Madison somewhere. Anyhow, it was incredible, because this is a city that has got 8 million people in it, and it just, you know, to see a ghost town, it was incredible. I remember everybody crying. I was crying. It took a long time for us to get over that. He was a very popular president. But anyhow,
a lot of wisdom, and Jackie too, you know, the wisdom. They were an energy together, so they helped each other. So, and he was just simple. You know, he was down to earth and simple. I think when he spoke, and he didn't have an arrogance about him, and I think people appreciate that as well.
Yeah, that definitely. Mm-hmm. And then of course you have a number of other people in there too, including Howard Hughes, Elizabeth Montgomery, who I loved, Michael Landon, who I thought was just a fantastic person. Mahatma Gandhi, who had to be one of the great souls of our time. I was just a little boy when he was assassinated. And, of course, Mother Teresa. I don't think you get many, many better souls than the ones you have in your book. And do you want to elaborate on this, on one of the chapters?
Sure, we can do that. Or one of the being, they're all here with us. As soon as you said their names, they're all kind of flashing in. So each of them connect, work with certain light rays. There's like well, 12 main light rays, but there's much many more than that. And they work in the mass ascension legions, helping the planet. Their work goes on. Their missions were short-lived in many cases, and so their work goes on at many other levels. And JFK himself is, you know, he's in the legions, and they work continuously with Washington and Congress and all of that. And there's always so much to be done that we can't even begin to estimate what they do, what they are helping with. Judy Garland is, her excerpt is in the on my website, AthenaStar.com. She always portrays the rainbows and faith and always seeing beyond and knowing and having belief in yourself, but in miracles and in creating. And so her essence, etherically, lifts everyone also, just like somewhere over the rainbow. You know, she inspires people on other levels and dimensions. Let's see, what is this? January 23rd. So so they're all working on behalf. They all had a mission on Earth, and then as they transcended and moved into back into spirit, they evolve even faster because souls that have done a profound mission on the Earth while they were here, whether it was short-lived or long-lived, hold such a consciousness and vibration that when they do pass over and ascend, all of the world, like, okay, Princess Diana, and like she's the first. She's chapter one, and then the book ends with Mother Teresa. So Princess Diana takes up, and then Teresa, you know, pulls up the end of it. But what it is that her, when she passed over, which was so traumatic, all the world was just, it was like a heart opening, because there was such an outpouring of grief and everything else, because she was beloved and the rose and all of that. But it also was a major cleansing of England and all of through time and the monarch stuff and all of that, because she was with them. She related to them. People, you know, that are in power, that they relate and are with people and integrity, they sense that. They know that. So she was an example of her death lifted clear. It was traumatic. It was painful, but it released a lot of old stuff from the past, and people opened up their hearts more to really get more clear on what they wanted. What they, you know, they started wanting that, what she was representing, wanting that in their country more and within themselves. And she was such an example, helping in humanitarian, you know, purposes and foundations and everything that it lives on, of course, and many still give to her charities. And she just exemplified that, no matter what her, you know, was in the news about her. That's just an example. Of course, Elvis, you know, he was a heart. A lot of his songs from the heart, you know, Love Me Tender and all of those beautiful songs. And he opened people's hearts. And to this day, there's all kinds of testimonies of where people love Elvis and they connect with him, and he'll be there spiritually helping them in some way, especially ones that are alone or lost.
And Athena, can I ask you a question?
So each of them had a beautiful mission. Go ahead, Jim.
Have you been in communication with each of these spirits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, not every day, but yeah, that's how the book is written. Because
let me clarify the question for you, so you understand. I know you did that. I know, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get, you know, the audience, our listeners, to understand how you came about writing this book. Because if they could see all the names the way I see them, you know, you understand. You get a clearer picture of what you're saying about the light. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading, just the other day, I was reading an article about the light and how it affects each of us in a different way, and how these massive souls, these spirits were incredible, because they each impacted the world, not just the local community, you know, like a mayor would or a congressman, but they impacted the world. No matter where you went, everybody knew and loved Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And, Princess Di, she was known and loved throughout the world as well. And when you mentioned her at the first chapter and Mother Teresa in the back chapter, didn't they at one time meet?
Yes. Oh, yes. And she had a profound – in fact, Mother Teresa, and it's documented, she passed over 1 week after Princess Diana. So they had a profound connection. They were, in a sense, they were in the same – what we call soul family. They were twin souls in a sense. They were very connected in what's called the Order of the Rose. Mother Mary oversees that order in the ascension realm, in other dimensions. And so we talk about that in the book also. But I work with the Ascended Masters. Many of the people listening right now are evolved souls. They're very spiritually attuned, so they understand what we're talking about. And it's not about these celebrities. It's just that they are the voice and messengers of these beautiful transmissions. And I believe that Courage is Elvis's, you know, blue ray. That's the ray he connects with, and it's communications, faith, all of that. And his message in the book is courage. And each of them have at the end of the book a meditation that came through from them, a beautiful meditation, affirmations, and a wisdom key for the people. So people connect with different celebrities. It's kind of like a coffee table kind of book where you just pick it up and, which chapter should I go to? Which message would I want today? And so that they're the voice. But I've been working for 25 years in my receiving transmissions and messages healing through the Ascended Masters. I work with Christ, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin. It's universal. There's no particular focus, and the archangels and the legions of light and the ascended masters, cosmic beings, and the galactic federation. So the book was just, they wouldn't let me write. I resisted that book for several years. I was like, they wouldn't let me be, and it came together within a year and a half. And the beautiful soul, I just have to say this one thing, that Mitch Harsky, he's in San Francisco. He was in San Francisco. He was almost finished his master's degree in the arts. He was going to the most outstanding art college there. And brilliant. And he helped me with this, with the photo, the pictures. I mean, he painted each one. Uh-huh. They're all, original photos that he painted that came through him. And they wouldn't leave them, like, each one has a symbol, and he painted the symbols with their picture, like Judy Garland's is the rainbow, right? And JFK, I think it's a justice symbol. Anyway, the symbols had come through just exactly right, and it was driving him crazy. He would get certain flash, I would get a flash, and then it came together. So those pictures, and he, ironically or sadly, and I was traumatized by this, but when he finished the book and he put it all together for me, did everything for me after and took my text and everything, he passed away a month after the book was finished. And he never told me he had cancer, leukemia. And I didn't know. I knew there was something wrong. I knew there was something going on. So I was just sending him healing. And he didn't tell. Anyway, he said he loved the book. It was so wonderful. It was so uplifting. And he said, I love it. Are you crazy? And each of them, he says, oh, yeah. Oh, and Elizabeth Montgomery, she just showed him exactly what, the painting would look like. And no wonder they were helping him. So when he passed over, he then communicated to me that they all were there helping him, each of these beings. And they were so in gratitude. And, of course, he received such blessings. But I couldn't even promote the book for 6 months. I was so traumatized because heartbroken, really, because he was such a special soul.
Friend,
so I just wanted to share that. So it's everything has its higher purpose, right?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. You know, we all are born with a mission in our life, whether it's just to work, live and die, you raise a family, all the things, it's all in the Bible, and it's all in all the things that, we've talked about, your book, my book, and you were talking about, you know, how your book took so, you know, you what you were doing before you put it out. I wrote a book called Giving Up the Ghost. And I had sent a couple chapters in to the publisher. The publisher liked it, wanted to publish it, but sent a note back saying, or an email, we're publishing a book by that very same name. The name I had originally given it was I'll See You on the Other Side. And I thought for the longest time, what will I call the book if I'm not going to use that name? And I came up with Giving Up the Ghost, which I, you know, it's almost like a book on death, you know, and I kind of like, I've kind of held myself back from wanting to publish it. So I've been editing it and re-editing it. And I think I told you today I wrote a couple extra pages I was going to throw in. And I'm looking at all these things and I'm going, there's so much in here. Now, here's where I'm leading this to, because you are, I take it, I'm presuming, I'm not going to say I assume, that you are a clairvoyant.
Yes, absolutely. I'm beyond that. We call it a medium. Back on your book. So your book is finished, and they've said they like it, and they would publish it, and they just don't like the, I mean, the name's already taken. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's what it was about. But here's what I wanted to say. In the book, I talk about incidents, you know, like my, how I astral projected, how I saw the spirits of deceased, and how I witnessed this on television. As a matter of fact, there was a program called the name eludes me right now, but it was on PBS, and the University of Manhattan actually had a special room set up for people who were terminally ill that were dying within a day or two. When they died, you could see their spirit come out of their body. So anybody who doesn't believe we have a spirit needs to see that and then tell me that it's trick photography. Anyhow, I also had a very acute, sensitive, I'm not going to say I was a clairvoyant or a psychic, but I was very perceptive, very receptive, very intuitive, ESP, whatever, but I just didn't like to go around saying I'm a psychic, you know, or I'm a clairvoyant or I'm a spiritualist, but I felt these things, and all of a sudden, 10, 12 years ago, I stopped astral projecting, and I used to astral project 2-3 times a month or more, and I would pick up what people were saying. I was that sensitive. I could pick up – now I don't pick up anything. I don't astral project. I'm just wondering why –
How long ago was that?
Well, this has been – I don't know, maybe 10, 12, might have been 15 years ago since I've actually run into demons. I've had battles with demons a number of times. 1984, I had this in my book. I was sleeping about 2 o'clock in the morning. My bed was actually rising off the ground, shaking. And I don't mean just like a, you know, just a little gentle shake. I mean like it was in the middle of an earthquake. And it was no earthquake. And my, you know, and I knew that I was being attacked by demons. And I tried to say, be gone in the name of Jesus. And it felt like one, the demon had its finger down my throat. It was really scary. I finally turned my head and I said it. I finally got it out and it stopped. Everything stopped. My dog was running around the room going crazy because she knew what was going on. You know, the dogs, they can sense those things. I had this happen once. I was astral projecting in 1985, 86. I wrote this down as well. I was astral projecting when a spirit tried to possess my body, and me and him got into a big fight. And I won. And, you know, people don't believe in astral projection. There are a lot of people that don't believe in possession. This is how people are possessed. When your spirit leaves the body, you know, and the church talks about it, goes all the way back. They have over 2,000 years of archive records. Jesus even talks about it in the Bible, how he threw, remember, there was one verse where he said, they said, we're called legion because there are many of us. I don't know if you remember that verse. Anyhow, these are some of the things that I ran into, you know, and I wrote all this stuff in my book, but I, you know, there were good things too. There were times, you know, that I saw a lot of good things. One of the things that I mention, and that is I have what I call invisible doors, that I would run into. And this would happen, and it was like walked right into it. I was blindsided in a number of situations, and I call them invisible doors. Okay, rather than saying something that I couldn't figure out, but an invisible door actually fit that part. I talk about God and how this. Friend of my mother who was a psychic, spiritualist, clairvoyant, she was just very on the money. She would tell me things. I would call her up and say, I need to come over and see you. She would tell me about it on the phone before I would even explain it to her. That's how good she was. And one time I told her I had a dream, and she said, no, you actually astral projected, and you were in heaven. And I was totally blown away, because how did she know that?
Right.
Are you following?
Right.
What I'm saying? So there were a lot of these things I wrote in the book. I talk about a number of things. I think I have about it's a pretty thick book. I have about 21 chapters, and I'm condensing it down a little bit. I'm adding stuff. I'm subtracting, and I'm still trying to make it just right. You know what I mean? I don't want 500 pages, but maybe a couple hundred pages will do.
That's good, but don't wait too long. If they said they're interested, you should move on that and move through your block. So I'm getting a multiple of answers here on what you said. And what it is from your guides and from the legions. And when we're not clear in our energy field and we don't know how to protect ourselves fully, we start doing astral projections. We do interdimensionally in the astral levels get mixed up with entities and energy that are not for the highest good. So in a way you were doing some experimenting back then is what I'm getting, and also testing your own connection with God. It was like an experimental phase, but and so these entities were kind of like testing you, and it was a combination. But as we evolve more, we connect with the higher vibrations, the higher dimensions, seventh dimension, seventh and beyond, the Christ dimensions. And then we're not as susceptible, not that you weren't, it's just you were playing around in energies and that were not, you weren't clear is what I'm getting. So you kind of shut down after that, and it's kind of like there's a block, and there's healing and energy shifts that can take place to help to assist you with those blocks, and that's the good news. But what it is you've been kind of in a space of just being more grounded for a while because it frightened you. But that's happened to you in other lifetimes, so we close down. Cellular memory closes us down, so that's what that is in a nutshell.
Okay.
And you are, but your book is, you know, meant to be out there. And if they've expressed an interest, don't fine-tune it too much because, you know, perfection, whatever. It's like everything. I was told one time from a writer that you could write and rewrite and rewrite till infinity. And still, there would always be something to change or add. So it's like we sometimes are such perfectionists, we need to just see it. And get it out to the world because that's the highest and best. I know that. I know that one. And because this book too. We all go through that as writers. So, but you have a lot of your. This is at a you're at a period now of grace where you're going to be opening up more to your own higher gift, knowingness, and the grace. And that book is a message to the. It's a message. It's out there. But it's also, it helps you in some way, that book, once mm-hmm. it gets out there, is what I'm getting. So you're on track with that, and it's, everything has its timing. You know, they say an idea, a time has come. And but giving up the ghost is not the title of that book. There's another, now that we're talking on this, the better title for it, and I will, you know, I'll work on that.
that's what's been nagging at me, Athena, is that title. It's like I said before, it's almost like I'm talking about death, and the book is not about death.
No.
It's about visions and, you know, like I said, I'll see you on the other side, because in the spirit, I, you know, traveled here and there, and I raced a train once, and I've done so many things in the astral. You know, and I always wanted to be like Edgar Cayce. I wanted to be able to go to the Akashic Records and read them, because I'm a learner.
I love that, but you have those gifts. See, part of the work I do, work with people, is opening up more in the soul levels, clearing, going in and clearing the cellular memory and levels of blocks and barriers within the structure. We kind of help to rewire and realign. Uh-huh. That's part of it. See, I don't know if you know that about the work that I also help people with. That's my gift. So we take them into the ascension temples. We do a Roto-Rooter. We help them. But Rome wasn't built in a day, so it's never just one time. Like someone said the other day, oh, I'm going to go and get a clearing. Once I get this clearing from this healer, I'll be all set, and I'll be able to do my big project and all that. And I kind of smile. It's like, I'm sorry, but it's not just one clearing. It's a continuous evolving process. And those
I understand.
Right now, in 2012, all those people who have at this point done a lot of their inner homework and inner purification and cleared their stuff with their families, their friends, and realigned and sought out healing and purposely asked God, okay, what's the next process for me to move to higher levels and to go to a deeper space, and have done their inner homework, they are now in a great space, because they're not flunked. They are 2012 frequencies are very, very high. I'm not saying you're blocked, so don't read into that one. I'm saying everyone who has done their inner homework and followed their guidance, and I'm not taught, again, some people go out and they take every seminar and every conference and go here and go there and go to that sacred place and do this and spend all their money to the point where they're broke. No, that's not. You can evolve and open up in the exact place where you are. There's access on, you know, online. There's people that can help you along. This is it. So you don't have to. It's great to have teachers and healers, but not to overdo it, because ultimately it's within the self. It's always within the self that the answers and the wisdom and the truth come. And we're all one. There is no separation. There's only one presence, one power.
That's what I've heard, right? Yeah.
Let me
make this, see if anybody wants to call in and ask you some questions.
Yeah, I love call-in questions. They can ask for the new year, anything personally.
And the number here is 888-429-5471, or you can Skype us if you want to use Skype. Either way, 888-429-5471. We're talking with Athena Starr, and we have
and channel and me.
No, we still have a little while to go. We're halfway through the show. I read where you are a healer. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, healing gifts come through. Yes. I don't know if
because I received a letter from a doctor. Oh gosh, he's a spiritualist, and I forgot his name, Dr. After the show, I'll remember. Anyhow, he sent me a letter saying that I was an empath and that I needed to work on it, but I have never felt that I was an empath. I don't know what your feeling on that is, but do you see anything there?
Intuitive, you have a feeling connection with others and with situations feel things out, you know, and you follow that guidance. And yeah, I would agree with that. And it's opening. It was there in ancient times. You just shut it down because you've gone through a lot of trauma, but then everybody has. Getting from ancient Egypt, you were a seer, philosopher, ancient Egypt, and scrolls and record keeper, and you were, I'm seeing some of your soul records right now, where I just call them the Akashic record keepers, and going into some of your soul records, I'm just getting like a flash of you. And again, we don't live in the past, we just have a knowingness of our past so that we can understand ourselves better. So you were a great record keeper, very methodical. You also had visionary gifts and healing gifts, but they're saying you shut down in a few lifetimes because you were traumatized by things that took place in masses with people feeling like you had no control or power over anything. And it was almost like a feeling like, oh, I can see and assist and do all of this, but why bother? Because consciousness, because mankind is so, hostile and so much darkness on this planet. So you kind of, instead of really focusing on protection and the light, you shut down because of the negativity and everything, and you just kind of like said, nope, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to go there. If I come back again another lifetime, but guess what? You're opening up anyway, because who you were is who you are in this life. And they're saying you're a perfectionist, and you're very methodical, and you've helped a good many people along your path, along your way in this lifetime. You don't always realize it or understand, but you've helped many people. And you are a writer, and you're also a teacher. I'm kind of getting like a lot of...
Well, the record keeping and the methodical record keeping you were talking about, that's the way I am now. Everything I'm so organized. I mean, I have stuff. it's incredible. I use binders, and I write on the back of the binder, on the side, what's in the binder, you know, so I can keep track of everything.
Wow. Yeah, you're a record keeper in Alexandria, the libraries of Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. And they burnt down thanks to Caesar and the Roman army.
Yes, you were a bit angry about that, but so
maybe that's why I don't like Caesar.
Caesar salad, maybe, huh?
Do you have any call-ins?
Do you get a flash when we have someone calling in for a question?
I'm waiting because when someone calls in to comment, they'll let me know at the studio. And I'm just wondering if everybody is afraid to talk to us tonight.
That's okay. This is the year of the dragon. Oh, boy. Kuan Yin, the dragon is good luck, and it's also power, but it's how you use that power, how you yield and work with it, that will determine, you know, for you, the outcome, and so to be careful of that. But the year of the dragon is wonderful. We just come into today, and so you can feel the shift, too, in the energy of Chinese New Year. It's wonderful.
Especially with the new moon, everything, it's all today. It's all happening, and I was reading earlier about the dragon. It has a lot to do with the Chinese use them, the symbol of the dragon, in most of their cities. They have them in China, it said on the on this one website I was looking at, and they consider the dragon one of the more important symbols of the 12 symbols. There's the rat, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit, the dragon, the snake, the horse, the sheep, the monkey, the rooster, the dog, and the pig. Some are better than others. Others are not so good.
Yeah. You know?
And the dragon happens to be their, one of their favorite.
If you're a dragon symbol, you were born that year, that's the year of the dragon, And it's the this is the year of the dragon. You're going to have a great year, and some of them are more compatible than others. But the bottom line is also this is new moon, and new moon is a time to create the new, to write out. You don't have to, but you can write out a list of what you want to create in this new cycle, the new moon, and project and meditate and vision. Visioning is very powerful. So the new moon again is new projects, new creations, new beginnings. Uh-huh. Everyone that's listening. So that's what you want to do. And then and the full moon comes, it's like the fruition and the manifestation of what, not that everything manifests that fast, but it is the fruition and the fullness of completeness, the full moon is, and it's
okay, a couple questions. What do the Galactics and Ascended Masters say about the U.S. economy and the outlook for the country for 2012? Any ideas?
Well, let me just kind of tune in here what I'm getting right now. The economy. Oh, boy. Good subject. The economy is, it's a balancing act right now is what is taking place. And there is a balancing and a restoration in progress. It has been the have-not, the people that lost a great deal of families and things as a result of the corruptness and the imbalances in we know all of that, like the mortgage stuff, and for many reasons, and then outsourcing, all of that, that's starting to come back into balance. At least the intention of the majority of the people of America, the intention, the thought form over this is to bring back the balance. And so it is. It is being brought back. It's not as fast as one would like. But this year, there will be an acceleration of breakthroughs to restore the balance that was caused. To restore the balance, that's what they're saying, that went disarray over many years, not just the last 10, and the thought form and consciousness of the intention of the American people dominates that restoration and for the highest good of all, because that's what it represents. America is the I am race. If you take the letters apart in the word America, it spells out I am race. I am is God in action. That's what I am means. Like when Jesus.
Yeah, the I am. I read that years ago. The I am is very important.
Yeah, when Jesus was asked, "Who are you?" He said, "I am. I am that I am, and my Father has sent me." You know,
I am that I am.
God in action.
Yeah, it's the most powerful. I guess words in the entire. Any language, I am that I am.
And what all of this disruption in the economy and all the imbalances cause people, what does it do? Just like an accident, it causes people to go more deeply into themselves to sort out what is it that they need to open up to or to clear within themselves. Uh-huh. So there's been a great transformation going on very painfully, but the balance it will be restored, it will be accelerated by about summertime of this year, it will start being much more of the restoration of balance in many arenas. But America is strong. She holds a focus with the Goddess of Liberty. In fact, I'm seeing the Goddess of Liberty right now as I'm speaking in full golden form with her hand raised, the Liberty flame, over the U.S. And there's all these goddesses that oversee and protect the United States, including the Ascended Masters and Saint Germain and Archangels and everything. And America is, she has her own, she is her own being, her own I am. And she is rising above, like the phoenix out of the ashes, she is. And that's what's taking place. So rather than focusing on the media, people should not listen to the media all day, or as little as possible, just for the minimal news, but not on the meat, because the vibration a lot of times is just on the negative. It's on this and that. That's not the higher truth. So when you focus on what you want to create, attention, right? Attention, energy and attention match. When you focus, what you focus on manifests. It becomes real. So that's always the message. And more people are opening up to the light and to the knowingness of, hey, my thoughts do create. I need to start shifting things. Why am I so, why am I down? What is going on with me? Maybe I need to clear some issues within myself that I've held on to. We hold on to the baggage of the past that holds us down. We want to lighten up the baggage, release it, purify it. And we do that through many different ways of healing modalities, meditation, even so much as speaking or writing, journaling, writing out what we want to forgive within ourselves and other people. Very good practice to do is I forgive myself, I forgive. Let's just say you have someone in the past, let's just say Jane did something to you, Jim, a long time ago, and you hadn't forgiven her, and so it causes issues within yourself and with other relationships because of that pain that you suffered with Jane for so long. Okay, so a good exercise for you to do very simply, I'm just giving a simple thing here, is to close your eyes, take some deep breaths, go into a meditative state, see Jane in front of you, kind of reflect on that relationship a bit, see her, the soul of her, just looking at her at the soul level, and just start affirming, I forgive myself on all levels and dimensions. I forgive you on all levels and dimensions. I release myself on all levels and dimensions. I release you on all levels and dimensions. And I set myself free. I set you free. And I bless myself. I bless you. And I thank myself and I thank you for this role in this lifetime and beyond so that we could have a higher understanding of and with each other, but beyond that, every relationship has a higher purpose for working out something within ourselves, ultimately. Mm-hmm. So when you identify that and you go through that little exercise, forgive, release, set free, bless, and thank you. And you just do that both with yourself and with them, it triggers it. Actually, you can just feel it kind of click out and release something within yourself, and that's just a little sample of something that people can start to do with their issues, and they will feel it. And the next thing they know, next time, and the next situation is when you think about that person, like a little way from now, and you can do that every day, like at least three times a day, do it every day. After a while, that energy, when you thought about that person, it's dissolved, and sometimes it's as fast as instantly. That's what we want. We want things accelerated. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's just an example of something. And I've seen situations where I'm doing a session and we go into a deeper level of some of the karmic connections with that party, and we go and unravel some of the relationships they had, release it, clear it, and then both of them move to a whole different level and frequency. Uh-huh. And then the next time they talk, they're friends. It's like there's a greater understanding. It's gone. It's all gone. So some things we need to go more deeply in healing, and then other things like what I just gave an example of, we can work on it ourselves in our own, because if you don't forgive yourself, if you don't forgive yourself, you hold on to negative energy within your being. It is all energy, cellular. And that affects your whole life. Not forgiving the self and forgiving others. It's always because you've heard the terms about religion. They always talk about Christianity about forgive them for they know not what they do. That was the ultimate in forgiveness. Uh-huh. Right? Forgive them for they know not what they do. When we really go to a deeper level of forgiveness, and there's different layers, we know that we can feel it. And then what happens is all these wonderful blessings come forth to you in your life because there's an opening. It's like you've been set free. It's like the ocean has cleared everything. It's so important.
Okay, so there were five levels, you said? Is that what you were talking about?
There's no set. I was just saying the five things to say to help you when you're trying to forgive something you can't quite do it. Just forgiving yourself and the other person, setting your, releasing yourself, releasing them, setting yourself free, setting them free, and then blessing self, and then gratitude. I always say gratitude at the end. I was just using that five things that you say.
Yeah. I've heard the gratitude, mm-hmm. and then the release, I release, again, what is it you're releasing?
You're releasing yourself and you're releasing them to the higher, to the universal light. So you're not holding on to it anymore. So your mind doesn't keep, the amygdala in the brain is a part of the brain that it remembers, it records everything. And it'll, a trigger, like say you go out and you go somewhere and you meet someone named Barbara. And Barbara, oh, hi, this is great. Nice to meet you. And you start to go out and you start having a nice time. You meet the person. Then all of a sudden Barbara says something or does something that triggers a memory you had with Jane. And it's like, oh, no, not this all over again. Oh, because it's an issue with you. So it's a trigger point. And
I see, yeah. Uh-huh.
So when you fully go into the forgiveness and releasing of everything with Jane, you don't have those triggers anymore. You've cleared it. But we can't do it by ourselves. I'm just saying that's an example of something to do that is a very simple thing, and yet there's deeper levels of healing, like interdimensional work, that we help realign people, and they feel the shift. Everyone that I've ever worked with, and do, I work with groups, I do planetary grid work. People, everyone I've ever worked with, they always feel the shift. In fact, they often look 10 years younger. There's happened. So there's many different layers of shifts that happen. But a simple thing to do if you're just, you know, just on your own is what I just said. Those five things you invoke with a situation, you will feel it release out. And then it's not a trigger anymore. It was a trigger before. So we hold on to these things in the brain. Keeps repeating it over, like, oh, there's that issue again. Oh, dear. Okay, what are we going to do about that? Oh, here's Bob.
And then after release yourself to the universal life and release them to the universal life, the next one was let your what?
Set yourself free.
Set yourself free.
Mm-hmm. Set yourself free and the others free.
And set them free. Okay. And then gratitude for?
Mm-hmm. You can... blessing yourself, blessing them. So it's like you're blessing everything.
Right.
And then the gratitude, So
gratitude
five different levels. If you could narrow it down to just three if you want, but I think the five, when you go through the five, you can really get a sense of it lifting, you know, being
released. Is gratitude for releasing all this? Is that what you're doing?
Gratitude for yourself and for that other party for being in your life, for being a teacher, whatever role they played or are playing, and they feel that. Don't you try it right now. It's within yourself.
I will, but I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever heard the expression twin soul or twin flame or twin spirit?
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I was reading on that a long time ago. Even Plato mentioned that in one of his writings, and that got me to doing a lot of research on that. That was something I started to put into my book, I'll See You on the Other Side, which, like I said, changed the name. But
we're going to work on that. The name will come.
Yeah, I got to work on that.
I'm on the air. We're going to leave them in mystery and suspense here, but I will help you with that. The name of the book, it'll come through jointly, you know, it'll come through from spirit, but you'll feel it in your being if that's the right name. But giving up the ghost is not the name of the book. That's not the name.
That's okay, why, you know, like I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah, twin souls. We have many souls, many of us who are old, so we have many soul partners. I met a lot of my soul partners two times, but it doesn't mean they're the partner in this life. And the twin flame is basically on every single level and dimension, you're aligned with that party. And often our twin flame is in spirit. We're in the body. They don't reincarnate together. However, during this dispensation for the ascension of Earth, there are a lot of twin flames that have incarnated together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that, and some of the things that happen in some of the twin flames, they explode and they have a violent reaction because of certain issues. And other times they come together. A lot of people say, oh, I wish I could meet my my soulmate. Well, everybody is your soulmate, your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, sister, your cousin, your grandparents, your best friends, your worst friends. They're all your soulmates. Now, you were talking about soul partners and stuff earlier, soul when we were talking about your book. But the twin flame is the one that steps out beyond that. And then you also talk about, and I didn't know if we didn't have much time. We only got a couple minutes left. And I didn't know.
Oh, no. You mean we're almost done? Oh, I have.
Yeah.
AthenaStar.com. And if they want to call me for I give a little free intro session, they'd be happy. I would be happy.
Yeah. I wanted to tell them your website is AthenaStar.com. And the book is there, yep. Celebrities and Spirits. And she will sign it if you order one through her. She will actually sign it for you.
Yeah.
And then you
and,
can.
So they get it directly and we'll give them a good price for it. But also, if they order the book, I will give a really good special for a session. I give different levels of sessions, different degrees, and I'd love to work with them. And my cell is 808-258-1063. It's on the website, AthenaStar.com,
yeah.
And in case you don't have a – well, yeah, you
just,
would have
I wanted to get into the Stargate with you. I told you I wanted to talk to you about that. We're not going to have time now because we only got 2 minutes.
Seriously, Sarasota
Stargate. Unless you
could
talk fast.
I live in Florida near the Sarasota Stargate. It's the main – it's the master Stargate of Atlantis, and it's an activation Stargate. So it actually goes in and acts – we link in with it. It's a very powerful – Stargate that the Galactics come in through, and the beach Siesta Key is crystalline quartz. It's an incredible place on the Gulf near Sarasota, and so the Stargate is an activator, so it'll link in and help all the other Stargates and portals be activated. It's very powerful. There's a huge crystal out in the Gulf of Mexico just off Siesta Key, and that's where this Stargate is. And that's one step. I mean, there's many Stargates, but it is an activator. So I love that connection with it. And there's portals, and then Stargates activate everything. But the New York City is the Temple of the Sun Stargate from Atlantis. Hawaii is the Ascension Stargate. That's just examples of some of the when I do my work, we link in with all the portals and Stargates, the mountains and the water portals, and that way we do a lot more to help our planet and shifting and clearing negativity and raising to her full golden I am presence, which she is. Anyway,
okay.
Long story short, it's been wonderful, Jim. We've had so much fun.
God, I wish I had you on sooner, but this was I just started this month, and I hope we'll get you back again, and I'm going to have to I have 7 Facebook accounts, and I'm going to have to attach this to these Facebook accounts so they can pick up the archives. And I forgot to do one other thing tonight. I have an 8th one. On Skype I also have one, and I didn't add that tonight. I think that's probably why we didn't get any calls, because I get a lot of callers on my Skype Facebook, you know. I do know that there are a lot of people who are afraid to call in.
Why?
The majority of people are afraid to call. They want to ask you something, but they're afraid to call. And so what we need to do is we need to encourage them, and we'll get you back again if you want to join us. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you very much, Athena Star.
yes,
it's been a pleasure.
Give me a call, anyone out there, or website. Just contact me on the website, athenastar.com, and I'll give you a free intro session. And if you order a book, then we do a full session, and we'll give you a special. And I thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and a very happy, happy New Year indeed.
And a Chinese New Year, you bet.
Yes.
Okay, I'll see you, Athena.
Okay, we'll be talking soon. Bye-bye now.
Absolutely. You'll hear from me. I'll call you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you, everyone.
You bet. Bye-bye.